Hi, I'm Maggie Brennan, music director here at WCBE. We're excited to announce our new web exclusive, Live from Studio A Replay, where you can listen to some of our best Studio A sessions. We're dedicated to bringing you great music from around the world and from right here in Central Ohio. And that type of extraordinary service is only possible with your support. So please, consider making a donation of any amount by clicking the red donate button at the top of the page and keep the music going. And we thank you for your support. We are thrilled to have Dave Alvin joining us here this afternoon. Welcome to WCBE.
Thanks for having me here.
Got a great show coming up tonight, 8 o'clock, and doors are at 7:30 over at the Grand Valley Dale Ballroom, which
historic.
Is technically closed.
Historic.
But they are holding this show for you guys, you know? You must feel pretty special about that, huh?
Yeah, I feel pretty special. The promoter brought us. Alec Whiteman is not really a music promoter, and he is shouldering this burden all by himself. So as he's proudly saying, he is supplying the chairs, the toilet paper, everything.
Everything. And, but it's a great place to play, and you know much about it, I think.
I played there a couple years back and was just floored, you know, by what a wonderfully haunted building that is.
Yeah.
You know, and you guys are very lucky to have something like that here. You know, they had a few of those out where I come from in California, but they've all been torn down, and I don't know, they built tanning salons instead, you know, whatever.
Unfortunately.
Right? But yeah,
yeah,
that's a
California.
Magic place. That's a magic place. Of course you need a tanning salon in California.
And Dave Alvin will be joined by his brother Phil Alvin and the Guilty Ones tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And again, doors are at 7:30. We'll have some tickets to give away this afternoon during this live session. Lots to talk about and a few questions we're going to ask.
Sure.
The latest CD, Common Ground, where he and Phil pay tribute to Big Bill Brunzi. And we'll talk about that. And are you going to start us off with one of those songs?
Yeah,
or
I'll start with a Big Bill Brunzi song called You've Changed. I got a girl in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. I got a girl down in Georgia, one in Mississippi too. Until I found out what you knew New Orleans girls could do. You said your mother was a Creole and an Indian was your dad. You said your mother was a Creole, baby, and an Indian was your dad. You know, you gave me a feeling, honey, something I never had. But then you changed. Yeah, baby, you changed. Yeah, you changed. You come up here to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. Well, since you come to Chicago, you done changed your name. Since you come to Chicago, baby, you done changed your name. You changed the way you talk, ain't nothing about you the same. Well, I didn't just know you in Chicago, baby, I knew you down in New Orleans. I didn't just know you in Chicago, baby, I knew you down in New Orleans. Yeah, I knew you. Rice and beans, but then you change. Yeah, you change. Yeah, you change. Yeah, you change. You come up here to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. Come up
I'll be to Chicago and you don't even walk the same. Cause baby, you changed. Yeah, you changed.
You've changed. It's Dave Alvin joining us live from Studio A. You can find that off the Big Bill Brunzi tribute called Common Ground with his brother Phil Alvin. And through the years, you're often at odds with each other for, you know, through some things, but no arguments on this one or Big Bill Brunzi. Tell us what drew you guys together for this project.
Well, my brother died.
Yeah.
And was brought back to life. He was dead somewhere between brain dead. Legally dead in Valencia, Spain, and so I got a crazy phone call from Spain saying your brother's dead, and then about a half hour later I got a crazy phone call that says no, he's not dead, he's going to be a vegetable for the rest of his life, he's brain dead. Right. And then I get a crazy phone call that says no, he's going to be fine. You know, and so inside of that hour and a half of kind of intense insanity, you know, because you're getting these phone calls in broken English and all that. You kind of go down the list of regrets as you do. Sometimes you do, I guess, when someone close passes away. And I just was like, well, we should have made more music together. The stuff we did with the Blasters was fine back when I was in the Blasters with him, but there was a lot of other stuff we could have done. And so when he recovered and he was in the hospital in Spain for about 2.5 weeks and then he got home and then not long after that, our adopted brother passed away suddenly.
Sorry.
Laid down and had a heart attack and that was like, okay, maybe, just maybe, we're not immortal, you know? So maybe I should, spend some time with my brother. And so then the idea, though, of writing 10 or 12 songs for my brother and I to sing together is pretty daunting because that's kind of where maybe the fights would start. And so I decided, well, let's go to square one and start with Big Bill Brunzi. He was our, Big Bill was a huge star in the blues world from the late 20s until the late 50s. He's kind of forgotten now and people that say they like the blues or love the blues have never heard of him. And it's like, well, he's one of maybe the most important guys in the blues, you know, him and Leroy Carr and Bessie Smith, people that are kind of overlooked now.
Right.
But it's also, I knew that we wouldn't fight about anything. You know, it's just like we love him. We'll try our best to do him right.
That goes back to being teenagers when you first fell in love with him.
Yeah. Well, we had older cousins that were musically pretty hip. We had our older cousin Donna, who was about 12, 14 years older older than us, and she was a self-described, you know, R&B chick. Mm-hmm. She loved Ray Charles and Big Joe Turner and doo-wop, and she loved rockabilly stuff. And then our older cousin Mike was a folkie, and he played banjo and guitar, and he loved Ramblin' Jack Elliott and Dave Van Ronk and Sonny Terry and Brownie McGee and, you know, early Bob Dylan and things like that. And then my cousin JJ lived out on a ranch, and he loved, you know, Buck Owens.
So
family gatherings were interesting. That's really all I am is my cousin's musical tastes combined, you know. But that led us into being little record collectors when we were like, we started collecting 78s when I was about 11 and my brother was about 13. Because, you know, kids, I have to tell you, back when we were kids, you just couldn't go to Spotify and get your Charlie Patton record.
Right.
You know, so to hear a lot of this music, I had to go find the old records. And that led to, that made my brother and I pretty close. Uh-huh. Was the adventure of finding these records. And then when we discovered that a lot of these musicians were playing in bars not that far from us, then that led to the next level of adventure, which is sneaking into bars at 14, you know, to hear Lydon Hopkins or T-Bone Walker or Big Joe Turner. And so that's really what I wanted to make the record for, was those two kids, you know, those two boys, because the stuff we did with the Blasters or whatever, that's all fine and good, but, you know, we never really got the made a record just for those two kids, you know, one that they would go, oh, that's pretty cool.
And we'll talk about the was it Ash Grove, the School of Music, and the place you would go to?
It wasn't a school of music, it was a bar.
But for you, it was kind of like
it was a school
getting
of music.
Schooled.
Yeah, it was a folk club that started in the late 50s and lasted until like the mid 70s in LA. But it was a bar, but it was also a community center in a sense. Because it would attract people from all over Southern California. Audience-wise, so you'd have lawyers and truck drivers sitting next to each other, next to hustlers, and it was a great place. If you talk to, we were maybe the second generation of Ash Grove kids. First generation of kids that grew up at the Ash Grove was like Ry Cooter and Taj Mahal and Bonnie Raitt, and then there were people like my brother and I and. There was a brilliant guitar player named Hollywood Fats who's dead, So there were various people that came through the Ash Grove, grew up learning their skills there,
And Big Bill Brunzi spent a lot of time in Chicago.
Yeah.
And there's the Old Town School of Folk Music and a great story about his guitar.
Well, he was the first act to ever play the Old Town School of Folk Music. And when he passed away, he left his Martin guitar to the Old Town School of Folk Music, which they keep down in their vacuum-sealed basement. And last year, yeah, it was one of the highlights of my life, was a guy by the name of Bob Reisman, who had written a book, biography of Big Bill called Feel So Good a couple years back. He arranged for my brother and I to play Big Bill's guitar, and which was just the greatest thing on earth.
Kind of eerie, I'm sure, to feel...
Oh, yeah.
Feel that.
Well, also, on a technical level, it explained a few things. On a technical level, it was a Martin orchestral model, and it's one that he used starting in 1946, and he was the first American bluesman to go to Europe, and he recorded a bunch over there, and so this was the guitar that he used on all those European recordings and all the recordings he did for the Studs Terkel and all that in Chicago at the time. So you touch the guitar, you hit a note, and it's that sound. And you're like, wow. And so if you play Big Bill figures on it, suddenly you sound like Big Bill. But also the neck is shorter. So even though he had huge hands, there was things he could do that you can't do on a big old Gibson. Doesn't make any sense. But you're playing it on this Martin orchestral model. It's like, oh, that's how he did that. Oh, I get it, But it was just the sound, all guitars have a sound. And when you grow up listening to him playing acoustic on records and then suddenly you're touching the guitar and it's making that same sound when you play one of his pieces, my first reaction was I just kind of mumbled out, it's like holding Billie Holiday's voice, it's so...
magical.
Kind of. Yeah, magical and just identified with him. It would have been great to record one of the songs on the record using that guitar. But also on the record, though, we weren't really going for recreating Big Bill's sound. We were, the great thing about Big Bill Brunzi was he was a great songwriter. And so some artists, whether in blues or bluegrass or whatever, if you're going to pay tribute to him, you have to sound like him. Like the other night, we did Mountain Stage, and Jerry Douglas has this group doing all Lester Flatt songs, and they go out of their way to sound exactly like Lester Flatt, which is great. But for us, it was you could take Big Bill's songs and play them in a variety, interpret them in a variety of ways, and still capture the essence of Big Bill Brunzi because his lyrics kind of. On a lot of the songs were the important thing, so you could play around a little bit more than just faithfully imitating, him. And also, we're not good enough to faithfully imitate him. So
I don't know about
only
that.
There's only a few guitar players that I've ever heard that could faithfully do. As Big Bill Brunzi was a great guitar player,
Dave Alvin is joining us live from Studio A. And tonight he'll perform. He'll be joined with his brother, Phil Alvin, and the Guilty Ones. And we'll have a pair of tickets to give away after this next song that he does. Doors are at 7:30, and it is taking place at Grand Valley Dale Ballroom. Showtime at 8 o'clock. What's this next one you're going to do?
Well, we'll go off the Big Bill Burns. We'll go away from the Big Bill Burns record. This is a song that I wrote that was used in a TV show called Justified, called Harlan County Line. It's kind of in the blues thing. Another morning, another motel bed, and another city is waiting up ahead. So I light another menthol to clear my mind of all those memories I pretend to forget. Cause you know I only want to live without regrets, but yeah, I still think of it from time to time. She's still living across the Harlan County Line. When we first met, we were both living on our own, trying to get by and tired of being alone. And for a moment, I thought she was mine. But she had a voice I just wanted to believe. She said her mother was full-blood Cherokee and her daddy, he was a union man down in the mines, fighting the good fight across the Harlan County Line. President, or they'll make you a fool, but she always treated me real nice and kind. Until that day she left me on my own, swore there was trouble she had to handle back home. She gave me a number and said, call anytime. If I ever made it across the Harlan County Line. Disappear out on the highway, and I lost her number somewhere along the way. So I'll just say a little prayer that she's doing fine. It's another morning, another motel bed, and another city is waiting up ahead, and I got another small memory to leave behind somewhere across the Harlan County Line. The Harlan County Line.
Thrilled to have Dave Alvin playing live for us this afternoon and chatting with him. And we're going to do that ticket giveaway right now. Caller number 5 at 821-9223. You just may have, the Harlan County Line. Let me get that right, wrong there, right, wrong. But you may have heard it on the FX Justified program. Yeah. Now, are you a fan, or do you even get a chance to watch it when you're on the road?
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes I get to watch it, yeah. Yeah, I'm a fan of the show. The producer is a big fan of mine, and so that makes me like the show a lot. but it's great acting, and you know, I'm a fan of Elmore Leonard and that kind of thing, so... you know, he was sort of the inspiration for the show, Elmore Leonard was. And yeah, they called me out of the blue and said, you don't have to have a song for us, do you? And at that moment, I was working on what we just heard. And so, yeah, I was kind of like, well, synchronicity. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, we touched a little bit on the Blasters, a group that
formed
back 1979 with your brother. And can you give us some early memories? Take us back. Take us back as early as you can go.
With the Blasters?
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a million memories of the Blasters. You know, it was, I remember being in tune on the guitar was one thing. Come here, baby. Blaster memories. I remember playing Columbus the very first time. Because we got, it was our first tour east of the Mississippi, and we, none of us had really ever been east of the Mississippi, and we drove across country, and we wound up staying, we got rooms at this railroader hotel, motel, called the Olentangy Inn.
Yeah.
Or Olentangy, how do you say it?
Olentangy.
Olentangy, where we were calling Olentangy.
Yeah.
And so we had three nights at the Olentangy Inn, where they had a, I remember they had a coffee shop that only served cold sandwiches, like ham sandwiches with cheese on white bread and chips. That's what we lived on. And then we played for a guy named, we played a place called Crazy Mamas.
Yeah, no longer exists.
By a wonderful, we were put on by a wonderful, eccentric character named Bruce Nutt.
That's right.
And I'll never forget that. So whenever I think of Columbus, my brain goes right to Crazy Mamas, the Olentangy Inn, and Tangy Inn, and Bruce Nutt. And, yeah.
Well, and then tell us a little bit about your time with X.
Well, X was fun. We were best friends in those days, and we had a side project band called the Knitters, which was sort of a folk country parachute to escape from the responsibilities of being in the Blasters and being in X. So we could just goof off and be, you know, silly little jerks, you know. And so when I joined X, when their guitar player Billy Zoom left, I literally quit the Blasters the day before, and then I got offered the job in X the next day. So I had 12 hours of being unemployed. So then suddenly for a little while, X was like the Knitters, and we were just on stage goofing off.
Good times,
but then
right?
After a while, reality set in. I was like, oh, we got to make a record.
And then you left the bands and really wanted to focus on your own songwriting career.
Yeah, because, you know, as a guitar player, I'm okay, you know. But as a songwriter, I'm pretty good. You know, when I, you know, I'll stack one or two of my songs against just about anybody else's worst song, you know. I'll stack my best song against Bob Dylan's worst song any day of the week. So I knew that if I was going to have any sort of, you know, I don't know, I don't want to say career longevity, because the type of songs that I write don't add up to career longevity, really. But if I was going to write anything, you know, I was going to have to write it for myself. I mean, it's fine for anybody else to sing it, you know. And over the years, yeah, a lot of people have recorded my songs, and I think that's great. But the idea of only writing for someone else's voice didn't appeal to me after a while. You know, I'd kind of written all the songs for my brother to sing that I could, you know.
Yeah.
So, not that I have such a great voice, but damn it, it's mine.
Oh my gosh, yes, you do.
No.
What are you talking about? We love it. It's Dave Alvin live from Studio A, and tonight $30 cash or check only at Valleydale Ballroom. Doors are at 7:30 and showtime at 8 o'clock. We can't thank you enough for taking the time to tell us your stories and to play for us today. So we really appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. I wish to God I was in tune.
Well, you know.
Let's listen to Dave tune up, everybody. If you make a pledge right now,
there you go.
We'll stop Dave from tuning. Send in a $50 pledge. If we can get a matching fund of $100, Dave will quit tuning his guitar and we'll go to recorded music that...
And we are trying to shave a day off the upcoming fundraiser. So there you go. You heard Dave say it.
That's right. If you phone in now, I will stop playing.
No.
let's see here. Well, we'll do a song that X recorded back when I was in the band. And it's called, we're not playing it tonight, so thought I'd play it in honor of this. What are we at, 45 degrees outside? Beautiful summer
yeah,
day?
Yeah, it's getting, it's yeah, this amazing. Is the best, isn't it?
So here's a song called 4th of July. She's waiting for me when I get home from work. Oh, but things just ain't the same. She turns out the lights and she cries in the dark and won't answer when I call her name. And on the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. It's the 4th of July. And I don't have the strength to go on the lost side of town in a dark apartment. We gave up trying so long ago. And on the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. The Mexican kids are shooting fireworks below. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. Now, whatever happened, I apologize. Just dry your tears, baby, walk outside. It's the 4th of July. And on the stairs I smoke a cigarette alone. The Mexican kids I shoot fireworks below. It's the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July. We forgot all about the 4th of July. Hey, baby, it's the 4th of July.